All right, and welcome to the very first edition of the Gil Can Run Show. And I am Gil, and I run, and you'll find out that I run my mouth, too. All right, so a little bit about me. I guess that's kind of appropriate, some introductions. On the website, you can read, started running about 4 years ago after a really severe asthma attack that I really had no business living through. I was 250 pounds. I'm down to about 170, 180-ish now. I'm not really sure. It's been almost a year since I've been able to weigh myself. Since I kind of had a house fire, lost just about everything that I own, except for this camera, my guitars, and a couple other things. And, yeah. So, this weekend I'm going to get a new scale and I'm going to weigh myself. So next episode, promise, I will give you an update of exactly how much I weigh now. So 250 pounds I lost at max. I lost about 83 pounds and then, you know, started saying, okay, I'm a little too thin. I think I need to put some weight on. I did it all through running, watching what I eat, and that was it. I didn't do anything special. I didn't use any fad diet. I didn't use any plan. I didn't do anything except for run 5K a day and watch how much I ate. You know, I counted calories. That was it. And I mean, I measured food out. I did everything by the book, as far as measuring and making sure that, I'll get into the hands thing in a little bit, making sure that I, you know, did not go over a certain calorie budget every day. I dropped it. I have kept it off. I plan on keeping it off the rest of my life. I never planned on running marathons. I'll tell you in a little bit how I got into that. So, yes. The hands thing, by the way, I'm not just American. I'm American and Italian. I'm not Italian-American. Technically, you could say that. My mother, her family is from Italy. I am an Italian citizen. Actually, tomorrow I'm going down to the consulate to put in my application for my passport. So, I have an American passport. I'm getting an Italian passport. And I will have an Italian ID card and everything, so I'll be able to use the vending machines that sell alcohol next time if I'm in Italy. I travel whenever I can. I love to travel and see the world. Okay, so sometimes I get off topic, sometimes I ramble. And this is the first episode, so I'm kind of doing a feeling out sort of thing. All right, back to running. I never planned on really doing anything other than 5Ks. The only reason I ever planned on doing any races at all is because I figured, okay, eventually just running for the sake of running is going to get boring. Because honestly, I didn't even start running. I just started doing 5K. I didn't care how fast I did it when I was just exercising and I was huge and my feet were going numb when I was out there doing this. And it was taking me almost an hour to do this. We have big hills where I live. I mean, for somebody who lives at sea level, they're big hills. And you can see that when I post up my runs. I post the link, and you can see the elevations and everything. I use MapMyRun. I am also on Strava. Those are the, you know, two that I use. Just because at one point, MapMyRun wasn't working on my phone, Strava worked, everything was good, now I have Garmin, now it doesn't matter, now I have two accounts, I have people on both accounts, you know, that are looking, so I just upload everything, I don't care. So, yeah, so I wasn't really planning on ever doing anything other than 5K. Got bored with walking, moved it into running, said, okay, well, let's do 5Ks so we don't get bored with running, and we have a thing to keep striving for all the time and work at and keep improving on, right? So that's what I did. And occasionally a 5 mile race. In fact, my first race was the Branford Road Race, which is Father's Day every year in Branford, Connecticut. And it is the first race I ever had any sort of anything to, because when I was a kid, I didn't run. I mean, I ran for sports like baseball and soccer, and then later on rugby. But I didn't ever run for the sake of running. I always ran in order to do something else. To me, running was a ends to a means. You know, you run down the first baseline, you beat the ball there, you're safe. You know, you keep running, you beat the ball home, you score. You know, that's all running was to me. Get to the ball, beat the ball, whatever you got to do. I did not care about the rest of it. Never. So I had this asthma attack. I start running as soon as I could afterwards, which was almost a year afterwards. Start running, start doing races. And then I started working at a place where I met this guy, my friend Al. And Al says to me, you know, oh, you run enough during a week. You could do a half marathon. Yeah, you could do a marathon, you know, if you really wanted to. You should do that. So I listened to him, and I did it. And he goes, you could do an ultra marathon. You should do that. And I'm like, why do I keep listening to him? Anyway, so now I am, you know, part of his running club, the Milford Roadrunners. There you go, guys. Hi, how you doing? Because I know a lot of you are going to be watching this. So I'm part of the Milford Roadrunners. Al got me into that. And then he got me into all this long distance nonsense. And then my buddy Ox, Lance, he does long distance running too. And you can check Ox and Tails out. That's his podcast. He doesn't do a vlog. He's not as pretty as me. What are you going to do? Sorry, Lance, I had to. He said, listen, this whole internet broadcasting thing, it was made for you. And he talked me into doing this. So here I am, right, doing this now for you. And really the whole point of all of this, in the end, is I believe not only do I have stories of my struggles with food, with stress, with depression, with weight, with asthma, with all sorts of stuff. Do I think that I can communicate those in a way that are going to be helpful for other people? But I think also I can be mildly entertaining. And every now and then I might actually have something important to say. And I think not only would it be good for some people to hear a point of view that maybe they might not hear, and be able to think about it, you know, take a little time and say, really? But also to be able to get it off my chest and be helpful for me. Helping you by helping me help you. If that makes any sense, I don't know. But we're just going in one take here, so I don't even care. Maybe I'll throw in a jump cut to make it look like I did something, but I'm planning on one take here. I just the way that I am. The reason my friend says that I am perfect for this and why I should be doing this, apart from the fact of, you know, me being me, is I am trained in audio and visual editing and broadcasting and things like that. I used to be an important radio guy at one point. I am not anymore. I gave that up when I realized it doesn't pay anything. Unfortunately, it really doesn't, unless your name's Howard Stern or something. Or, you know, you're on your big local station in like a real serious day part. You're really not getting paid if you're not, you know, which is morning drive or afternoon drive or your big time slots for this sort of thing. And, you know, would I make it eventually? Probably. Am I willing to work 3 jobs 7 days a week until I do? No, not really. Much rather run at this point. I'm glad that everything's worked out the way that it has. So that's cool. But yeah, I've actually been sick. This is kind of my voice, but I'm a little raspy still. I was sick over last weekend. I didn't run at all. I couldn't. I had such a fever. And now I've run sick before. I've run a 5K sick. I actually finished second in my age group. 24 minutes. I thought it was terrible. I was 2 minutes behind my best time in a 5K. I'm like, if I didn't win or, you know, place there, what am I going to do here? So I just took off because I was sick, right? The next thing you know, someone in my club's like, I have your trophy. Thanks, Deb. but it's the only time I ever placed in anything. I think that I'm very slow. It's okay to be slow. It's okay to walk. You know, if you're out there, you are out there and you're doing it, and that's awesome for you. And anybody should applaud you. And if they don't, they're a jerk, and you can tell them that. And you can tell them I say that, too. You know, so that's my fastest 5K is 22:37, I think. And so it's not bad. And then I just slow down from there. My fastest half, I don't remember right now off the top of my head. It's on Athlinks, and it's like a 140-something, 145-ish, we'll say. And then marathon, my fastest is a 4:27. You know, I slow down. Part of it is that I'm not ultra-competitive. I know I'm not going to win, and I'm just kind of like, meh, enjoy the ride, you know. I'm putting the work in, I'm having fun, and I do a lot. I mean, a lot of times, you know, most folks will take a whole week off before a marathon. I tend to take like 2 or 3 days off before a whole marathon. Before New Jersey, I took 4 days. And I think 4 days prior, I had run 7 miles, or 10 miles, was it? No, 5 miles. I did 10, 7, 5. That's what I did. 5 miles, 4 days before the marathon. And I did 10, 6 days before, with seven in between. Coming up on Burlington next weekend, I am actually going to rest all week because I've been sick. I'm aiming for 1,500 miles for this year. Which will be a new record for me. And it'll probably be the most I do in a year in my life. I think I will scroll back after that. But I wanted to do 1,500. That's what I'm doing. I want to do one marathon per month, average it out. Right now I'm on pace for that. I have the XL Center Marathon I did in January. I actually didn't end up doing a marathon in February. March 1st, I did the Comset 50K in Long Island, which is the national championship 50K. I finished in a little over 6 hours in a snowstorm. I had a much fuller beard. It was covered in snow. It's kind of epic. There, I think I have a picture up on the book faces. I'll put it on the Gil Can Run Facebook site, and we'll do that. Because that was pretty cool. You know, Ice Beard. How can you go wrong with Ice Beard? Then later on in March, I ran the Savin Rock Marathon, the inaugural Savin Rock Marathon. Good job, Clint. Clint also puts on the Hamden Hills Half Marathon, my hometown throwdown. And that's coming up at the end of this month, which I will be in and running. It's pretty challenging. It's up on the north end of town where all the nice people live. I am not nice enough to live up there. It's a very nice half marathon. If you're in the Connecticut area, I think they're selling out, but don't quote me on that. if you're in the Connecticut area, you're looking for a half marathon, check out the Shoreline Sharks website, Hamden Hills. I'm going to say May 30th. Yeah, it's definitely worth it. Very nice run. Challenging course. It is not flat. Hamden Hills, definitely a hint. But then April, I did New Jersey and got to hang out with all of my folks in Dirty Jers, which was awesome. We had a lot of fun. I did not do particularly well that day because I turned my ankle taking a potty break before the start. And I ran on a turned ankle. And I did all right for the first 6 miles. I was on pace for a four-hour marathon, which is what I wanted to do. And I just couldn't do it anymore. There were other issues involved. It was a little swampy, put it that way. And so we had to make a pit stop. And then I was just like, yeah, screw it. You know, the ankle just started hurting too much. And, you know, I just cruised in. I figured, you know, I'm doing one of these a month. I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to hurt myself. Because, you know, it's a lot of risk, you know. And what I'm trying to do is complete a marathon, an average of one marathon every month for the year 2015. And so, you know, you got to mitigate your risk. And I decided already having a turned ankle was a good risk to mitigate. So then I might as well tell the story. So what ends up happening is my friends all meet me after. They were at the finish line, which is very touching. I've never had anyone waiting for me at the finish line of a marathon before. And it was, you get kind of emotional if you haven't done one of these. It's an emotional thing, you know, even if you've done 9 of them before. Actually, 8 of them. That was my 9th. My 10th full marathon will be Vermont next weekend. Vermont City, up in Burlington. And it'll be 4 years to the day, save 2, since my asthma attack. So that's nice fitting round. I like round number things. Very soothing. And so that'll be cool. And that'll be my 10th full marathon. I've done 2 50Ks on top of that. And I may end up doing a couple more 50K-ish events. I don't know if I'm going to do anything longer than that. We'll have to wait and see. But as of right now, there are no plans for anything more than 50Ks at the most. Even if I do 7 marathons in 7 days, which is a thing that might be being talked about, and technically would end up being 8. We're going to hold off on that, and I'm not going to say any more. So, that's where we're at there. The New Jersey Marathon. I finish up, and we're hanging out, and we're having beers at the hotel that's at the finish line, and all was good. And I was very sore, and I was very out of it, and we had a lot of beers. And I'd eaten, you know, I was fueling properly during the race, and then, you know, the race ended, and I was eating little things that they give you to eat at the end. And I needed to evacuate. You know, poop a little. And I always have very funny poop stories when I have poop stories from a marathon. So I go into the bathroom. I hobble into the bathroom. My legs were so stiff. I mean, my ankle hurts so much. I can't even begin to tell you. And I go to sit down. And I do my business. And I get up. And I'm waiting for the toilet to flush, and nothing's going down. And I'm like, in this brand new, beautiful, totally upscale, way better than me hotel, right? Lobby in the bathroom. I didn't stay in the hotel. I stayed with my friends in New Jersey. I always stay with my friends in New Jersey. I love my friends in New Jersey, and I love staying with my friends in New Jersey. Thank you, Jen. And Keith, and everybody else who's ever put me up for a night. AJ. Yeah, everybody, Natalie and David, and yeah. So, anyway, I'm sitting there, I'm like, why isn't anything going down? I didn't clog the toilet, the water's going down. And then I look at the bottom of the pile, and there's my cell phone. Yep, there's my cell phone. My Galaxy S5 underneath a pile of shit. So, after a marathon, you know, you're just like, whatever. And I reach in and I grab it and I carry it over to the sink. And I take it out of the case and I put it off to the side. I start scrubbing the case down, soap and water, lots of soap and water. And then I'm looking at the screen of the phone. There's shit on it. And I'm like, I can't just put it on. I knew I couldn't put it under the faucet. I would kill the phone. So I started grabbing the paper towels. And I put soap on them and water on them. And I kind of wring them out. And I start. And that's how I clean the phone. So I get it clean. And I mean, I was probably standing there for like 10 minutes or so washing this thing. In fact, it took so long that my friend came in. And he was like, Gil, everything okay? And I'm like, well, funny story, shit on my phone. So I get it all, you know, dried off. And then I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, well, let's see what happens. And I turned it on. Thing worked. Works perfectly. Doesn't even smell. Hey, lucked out. Anyway, moral of that story is, after a marathon or anything, if you have your phone in your pocket and you need to poop, take your phone out of your pocket before you go to sit down, because it's going to fall out and into the toilet. All right. So, that being said, that is a very good lesson, and I could end on that today, but I'm not going to. I'm going to give you more, because I've been sick. I haven't been running. I got out Tuesday. It was the first day after the fever broke, and I have run sick before. I ran Savin Rock. Sick as a dog. I was congested. I was a mess. This isn't me congested, by the way. My nose is completely clear. My throat is just sore. I was totally congested. And as with someone with asthma, it's a big concern. But I knew I could make it through, so I just went with it. I have my inhaler on me all the time. It is never out of arm's reach for me. Whether I'm running or sitting at my desk at work, this thing stays right by my side. So, you go, hi dog. I'm sure you can hear that. Anyway, so I go and I get out there. I finish the race. It took me forever. I still finished under 5 hours. That's always my goal, under 5 hours. And, you know, we get that done. So, you know, I'm sitting there coming off this cold, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go out Tuesday. The fever broke. Everything will be good. And we'll go from there. Unfortunately, this was much worse. And I got out there, and I got about a quarter mile from my house, and my legs started cramping up. And I had been drinking water, juice, everything. I was very well hydrated. And my legs started cramping up. And I made it like a mile and a half. And I felt terrible. So I said, okay, well, we'll go out. We'll do it tomorrow. Yesterday came. I got my 7 miles in, which is my regular weekday run. And it was slow. Horrible. You know, I averaged just under 11 minute miles. Not very good. But I got out there, I moved my legs, everything was good. Tonight, I did 8 miles. I did a little extra, and same results. A little under, well, you'll be able to see them, you'll be able to read all about them. 11 minute miles. Tomorrow's usually an off day for me. I usually do 3 weekdays, and then both weekend days. But because of the cold, because I'm not going to run it all next week, I'm going to get some miles in tomorrow after my meeting at the Italian consulate, and I get back from New York City, which definitely, if you are in New York City and you're looking for a nice vegetarian meal and you're into falafel, go down to Fulton Street, get yourself some Alfenus. It is fantastic. Best falafel you'll ever have, and life will be good. I promise. Then I'll come back uptown, hop on the train, come home, run, check into my house, which they're wrapping up and getting ready for inspection to do insulation and drywall and floors. And I think once floors are in, I might stay some nights there. I hate the rental house. So 3 week nights, both weekend days, and usually that's it. But I'm going to do Friday, and then I'll do Saturday and Sunday limited because there's a big concert event, Black and Blue Bowl, in New York City this weekend. I'm going both days because I do both days because I love hardcore music. You're going to find that out. Oh, you're going to find that out. Which, if everything works right, I will edit in some music to this at the beginning and the end. I have some thoughts running in my head right now. Just going to see if I can do it on the equipment that I have, because I don't really have equipment right now. So actually scratch all that, because I don't have equipment right now. All I have is a camera and a computer. I don't have any of my Adobe stuff. I don't have a mixer. I don't have a microphone. I don't have any of my stuff. It all burnt up in a fire. The only thing I was able to save were my cameras, and I had to buy a cheap computer, and I actually have a new computer coming next week, I'm also going to buy new audio equipment pretty soon, because I need new audio equipment, because I'm doing this now. So we'll get that all set, and that'll be cool. And then you'll get a much better quality product, and everything will be cool. So anyway, so I ran tonight. I ran 8 miles. And here's what's on my mind about that. Okay, this is very important, people. We're going to get into a little ecology right now. We're going to get into a little lawn care. And we're going to get into a little personal philosophy about how much I hate lawns. Okay, so I'm asthmatic, right? We've already established that. I'm also allergic to everything in this world. Any allergen you can breathe in, it's going to irritate me. Chemical, natural, whatever. I'm irritated by every shit and smell there is in this world. It is annoying. When my doctor did the tests after my really serious asthma attack, he said, I have to list everything. It would be shorter to list the things that you're not allergic to. That's how bad it was. And it took him a long time, like longer than the litany of saints, to list everything that I am allergic to. So, it's springtime. Oh, I should never say that. The producers immediately pops into my head. Mel Brooks is a genius. And, I can't sing to you right now. But I will sing to you eventually. I guarantee it. And I might end up singing that song, too. It's one of my favorites. I don't usually like musicals, but that musical I make an exception for. So, alright, I'm rambling like you wouldn't believe. But, so you're running, it's springtime, people are cutting their lawns, and I understand people are cutting their lawns. You're going to cut your lawn. I wish you didn't cut your lawn. I wish you didn't have a lawn, put it that way. We'll get into that in a second. But fertilizer, which right there is the basis of the problem with the lawn. Anything you have to fertilize, anything that's depleting the soil you're using so much that you have to add nutrients back into it, something is wrong. But the smell of that fertilizer kills me. I go by and immediately I feel everything tighten up and it's just brutal. And usually as soon as I smell it, I'm the idiot that's running like this. And that right there kind of killed my time anyway. But, plus, you know, what if I don't have a tech shirt on? Trust me, right now, I'm always wearing a shirt, unless I forget to put Band-Aids on. And then I'm ripping off the shirt because I forgot to put Band-Aids on. I ain't crying. Anyway, the crier, you know, the blood drink kind of looks like your chest is crying. That's one from Lance. He'll notice that. All right, so you're sitting there and you breathe in the fertilizer and you start having a reaction to it. And on top of that, I mean, I got diesel trucks coming by and cars that are spitting out, you know, gas and oil mix because their head gaskets are blown and stuff like that. All that stuff is irritating. It makes it so much harder. And, you know, a lot of people aren't going to deal with that stuff, but I do, and I know other people that do too. And it does. It makes it a lot harder. So first, you have this lawn, right? And a lot of people are allergic to clippings. Why? Because you're not supposed to have a lawn, people. Okay? I know we've had lawns for a while now. People have been cutting their grasses, the native grasses, to keep them neat and everything, so they don't offend their neighbors. But now, we have ornamental grasses. We have grasses from other areas. And they're killing the native stuff, which are killing the native species that rely on that. And then the non-native species, the invasive species, are able to thrive. So we're literally, from the bottom up, destroying our local biome. Okay? We shouldn't do that. I know we have laws that say that we should do that. You know, there are brownfield laws and all this crap about people having to cut their lawn or they get fined and all that other shit. But you're destroying the environment doing that. It doesn't make any sense. So if you're not going to plant native grasses, okay, or if you're not going to let the native weeds take over, and if you're not going to plant clover instead of throwing fertilizer down and things like that, just tear it up and put up a fruit and vegetable garden. Okay? It's like printing your own money, I swear. It's not as hard as everyone thinks it is. In fact, at a time, during and after World War II, everyone was told, grow a victory garden. Okay? They wanted you to grow your own food. Now they don't want you to grow your own food. Because a lot of people realize they make a lot of money telling you what you should and shouldn't eat, and not really caring about the nutritional value thereof, and just getting you to buy things, getting you to consume things, whatever they want you to consume, whatever's going to make them the highest profit margin. And they do not care as to whether or not it actually nourishes you or not. But I'm telling you, grow your own food, okay? It is like printing your own money, because now you go to the store less and you're spending less money on the store, and the food will be better because you get to control how you control the pests. So you can use things that aren't going to poison you to do that. And it'll be very good. So one thing tackled, get rid of your lawn, you know, it'll be nice and you'll have fun and you'll thank me for it in the end. So that's a good thing. And it'll also help people like me who are trying to run down the street without having to suck in a bunch of poison, pesticides, herbicides, grass clippings, on top of all the other stuff that I have to breathe in, like diesel fumes and gas fumes and wood burning stove fumes and grill fumes and everything like that. Because all that stuff, particularly the wood-burning stove, because that has actual particles of wood ash in them that I'm then breathing into my mouth. And guess what? That's not good for me either. And it's not good for you. Even if you don't have asthma, that stuff's not good for you. You can develop asthma, or you know, it can just cause you problems. Stuff is not good. You know, we worry about the inside air quality, but we don't really think about the outside air quality. We think, oh, it's such a big volume. Well, I got news for you. There's bad stuff in that air now. And you know, the more we can mitigate that, the better off we are. You're going to find that all of my philosophy idea pieces, they hinge around a central theme. That theme is very simple. No matter who you are, no matter what you think about anything, no matter who you believe in or what you believe in, as far as anything goes, how you think about money or family or friends or anything, we all live on this one planet. It is the only planet we can live on. And we are all here together. And none of it belongs to us. You may have a deed that says, oh, well, I own this particular plot of land. You don't. You won't be here in 100 years. I won't be here in 100 years. Well, unless we get robot bodies, which is possible, but I doubt I'm going to have a robot body. I would love to have a robot body. Somebody make that happen. But we're all here. There's nothing we can do about it. And so we all have a responsibility to keep it as nice as possible. I don't care if you think global warming is real or not. It doesn't matter. What have you lost by keeping the planet nice? What have you lost by making it better for the people that are going to come after? You haven't lost anything. Oh, you know, it'll cost money. Well, what's money? If humanity weren't here, would there be money? No. Money doesn't grow on trees because money isn't real. The things that are real grow on trees. Or, you know, as polyps, you know, asexual reproduction stuff. Or, you know, the gross way us organisms do by shooting DNA at each other. Okay? Those are the real things in this world. Okay? And we're all related, and nobody's life is any more or less valuable than anybody else's. Yes, even bad people. Their life is not more or less. Usually the bad people have made that decision that somebody else's life is less valuable than theirs, and they've done whatever it is that they've wanted to do. And so us thinking that our lives are more valuable than theirs, how are we acting any better? Okay, so we're all here, we're all together, and we all have the one place, and it's not even ours. It owns us more than we own it. And that's the basis of everything, okay? That's the basis of the whole kit and caboodle. And everything that I say extends off of that. Everything I believe extends off of that. That there's, this is it. It's just Earth. And it's where we have to be, and it's what we have to do, and, you know, we have to make it better, and we have to be better, and, you know, so I get kind of wavy-gravy about things at times, but I have ideas, I have a plan about it, you know, grow your own food, and then it gets into things like produce your own power, and fix your own stuff, and stop buying so much stuff, you know, recycle it, reuse it, reduce. You know, these are actual things that you can do. They're not just advertising slogans that you see on TV. And I think that's where a lot of the problem comes down. People think everything's about marketing and an advertising slogan. And to a point it is. But at the end of the day, there are real ideas out there of real things that everyday people can do, no matter who you are, to make the world a better place. And we should all be trying to make the world a better place. Because, you know, we're just leasing our time here. We're not here permanently. None of us. Not even the human race is here permanently. Eventually, the world will be done with us. And that will be it. And I know we like to think that we're going to be around forever. Well, the dinosaurs were around for, you know, millions of years. Yeah. And eventually the Earth said, all right, time for you to go. And there have been many other extinction events, and all evidence points to the fact that we're in the middle of another extinction event. And this one seems to be our fault. So, good job, guys. But you notice I pointed at myself. I blame myself. I've made my mistakes in life. I do things that, you know, particularly now because I'm becoming vegetarian, I'm realizing not only how environmentally destructive meat is, but once again, as I said, nobody's life is any more or less valuable than mine. And that includes cows and pigs and chickens. You know, and that's pretty much all I ever ate were cows and pigs and chickens. I never really ate duck or venison or any of that stuff. I don't accept hunting anymore as a thing. You know, I never accepted trophy hunting, but I always said, oh, well, you know, some people have to hunt to eat. And then I realized, no, you can eat a plant-based diet and get all the nutrition that you need. Because I have friends that have been doing it for decades and they're fine and they're pretty cool people. You know, and they just realized much earlier what I'm realizing now. And, but I'm not going to be preachy about it. I mean, every now and then I'm going to talk about it, but I'm not going to be preachy about it, please. I'm going to try not to preach to you about things. That's important. But this is just kind of a warm-up, get-to-know-us sort of thing. So, I've gotten to know about me. You've gotten to know about me. Hopefully I'll get to know about you. Know what you like to do. Feel free to interact. Anyone that wants to interact, you want to tell me that I'm a jerk or whatever, that's fine, because frankly, everyone thinks I'm a jerk anyway, right? So, but I'm the nicest jerk you're ever going to meet. And, so that was it. I think that's all I have to say tonight. I will do this hopefully once a week, unless something goes wrong, and then it might not be once a week, but I'm going to go for once a week. You know, I'm going to make them longer, and there's going to be a podcast and a vlog. Once I have all the equipment up, I will split the signals and, you know, maybe make them a little bit different. So maybe you have something to do when you're running. Maybe I'll mix some music in or something for you. So you can listen to my melodic voice as I spin the tunes. You like my radio guy voice? It's very important. But, I'm sorry. I have to do that every now and then. I'm contractually obligated by the fact that I used to work in radio to make that stupid voice every now and then. So anyway, it's been a pleasure. Have fun. We'll see you out there running. And thank you very much for watching the very first episode of the Gil Can Run Show. Have a great